Well, tonight, I'm pretty excited, I'll be honest with you here. We're going to be continuing a series that we started last Sunday night, our series on heaven. And I tell you what, I can tell you right now, it's one of those things that you know already, but then when you start studying it again, you start looking at it closely again, guys, I'm going to be like a kid in a candy store the day I die. I'm going to be running around heaven so excited, doing cartwheels. The angels are going to look around and be like, look at this fool. That'll be me. I'm going to be that excited to be to heaven. And I hope that by the time we're done with this, you have the same outlook where you can't wait to get into the presence of God. Amen? All right. Well, tonight, if you would, please, we're going to be taking a look at part two of our series on heaven. So let me remind you, give you guys up to speed on what we covered last week, a brief summary so you know where we're going from. So last week, we talked about how heaven, for the Christian, we should want to go there, but not because of the reasons that the rest of the world wants to go. Everybody wants to go to heaven, right? Which is funny because a lot of folks who, they're not even Christians, they say, where are you going to go when you die? Oh, I'm going to go to heaven. That's where I want to go. Yet they don't even really understand what heaven is or what makes heaven heaven. Just no one wants to go to hell. That's the thing. That's why most of the world wants to go there. But for Christians, we want to go there because that's where God is at. That's where our treasure is. That's where our Father is. It's where everything that matters to us is in heaven. And what makes heaven, as we use the term heaven, is that God is there. Without God, it's not heaven. Heaven is the abode of God. That's what heaven is. It's His dwelling place. Now, we should yearn to go to heaven. We should be greatly anticipating it, not looking at it as that place I want to go when I'm done here. We should look at it as, Lord, I want to go as soon as possible. Use me while I'm here, but Lord, when you're done, take me home. That should be our outlook, not someday after I've had all the fun that the world can offer, right? Because that's a spirit that says, no, I really want to stay here. I don't want to go anywhere. I want to stay right here in this world. And when I have to go, then I want to go to heaven. That's not the outlook of the Christian. So I want you to take a look at something tonight. Last week, we focused on what heaven was. And again, that was that heaven is where God is. Heaven is being in the presence of God. That's what heaven is. So tonight, we're going to focus on that question that we all ask so often. What's heaven like? What's it going to be like in heaven? Well, some answers I probably can't give you because there's only so much that the Scripture tells us. But we're going to take a look at what the Bible does tell us we can expect in heaven, what we know it's going to be like. But before we do that, let's close our eyes, bow our head, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we come before you tonight. Lord, we thank you for the time that we have here. Lord, we thank you for the life that you've given. Father, we thank you for the life and the price and the blood that was shed, Lord, on Calvary's cross, that we might have opportunity, Lord, that we could be called the sons of God, that by your stripes we could be healed, Lord, that the blood of Christ could wash away the sins of man. Father, we ask that, Lord, you'd have your hand upon those whose names we lifted up earlier, Lord, that you'd be with Tyler Spicer, that you'd be with Mary Nichols, that you'd be with Shelby Warden, Lord, that you'd be with our brother Haven and others in the church, Lord, that are having a hard time, Lord, that are struggling. We pray that your hand would be upon them, for we know that you are the great physician able to do all things. Father, I ask that you'd be with me tonight as I seek to do the work that you've given me unto do, Lord. Help me to speak clearly, to teach accurately, Lord. Help each and every one of us to have ears that are open and a heart that's open to receive your word. And Lord, we pray that through this series that we're going through on heaven, Lord, as we look into your word, Lord, that we would find, Father, encouragement, Lord, hope, that we would be overjoyed and excited about the day that we leave this world, Lord, and come to be in the presence of Almighty God. Lord, we worship, we love, and we glorify you, Lord. We pray that in all things you'd be well pleased, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so let's talk about some things. First and foremost, let's talk about the kingdom of heaven. Now, we've got a lot of things to cover tonight concerning heaven, and I'm going to try not to get too excited, because when I get excited, I start talking real fast. So hopefully I don't get too excited up here, and you all can stay with me. We're going to talk about the kingdom of heaven. So just the fact that it's called a kingdom, the fact that it is a kingdom infers, it points to the fact that there is a king, right? There is a king. Now, The king, of course, is the ultimate authority, the one whose reign is over all the land, right? The kingdom. If you would, please, turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 4. And what we're going to see here is we're going to see John, and we've been going through Revelation on our Wednesday night Bible studies. And so for some of you who've been here on Wednesday nights, this will sound very familiar. We see John in his vision. What does he describe to us in chapter 4? What is the focal point of chapter 4 of Revelation? Well, you probably know it's the throne. That's right. It's the throne in heaven. And more pointedly, the one who sits upon the throne. So first off, I want to tell you right now, what you can expect to see in heaven is a throne. There's a throne in heaven. Now, what he does is we get a brief description of the throne that's in heaven there in chapter 4. And most importantly, we see the focus of the chapter, as I said, is upon the one seat on the throne. I want you to read with me, though. Let's begin here verse 7. We're going to read 7 verses about the throne in heaven and try to give you a picture of it, to describe it in the way that John is describing it to us, right? Now, if you want an in-depth exposition and interpretation of all the symbols that he gives us here, all the things he says, well, then I would encourage you to take a look at our Wednesday night Bible study that you can find on the website. But listen to what he says about the throne in heaven here, starting there at verse 2, going through 9. So here's John. He says, "And immediately I was in the Spirit." Notice that when he was in the Spirit, he went to heaven, not physically, in the Spirit. He says, "And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne." There's that focus of the throne which is in heaven. "And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper or a sardine stone." Now, a jasper or a sardine stone is said to be a stone which is it twinkles. It's red or bluish hues. It reflects that around it. And it says that, "And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald." And so, by rainbow, he's talking about this, well, like a rainbow in the sky, only this is one that is green, not necessarily of multiple colors, but of green, right, as of emerald. It was bejeweled, so to speak. "Round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment." So he begins to describe the scene, "and they had on their heads crowns of gold." Now, so far, you're probably doing pretty well at keeping up with this picture as John's describing it. But the rest of the verses, let's see if you guys can keep up with this. It's not so easy, okay? "And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God." Okay, so we've got the 7 lamps, these 7 torches, so to speak, burning before the throne. "And there was a sea of glass like unto crystal," so it's see-through, it's clear, so to speak. "And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts." Now listen to the description of the beasts. "Full of eyes beforehand, before and behind." You guys picturing that? In the front and in its back, eyes. Okay, if you're picturing that, then you're doing pretty good. Then it says, "And the first beast was like a lion, the second was like a calf, the third was like the face of a man, and the fourth was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about them, and they were full of eyes." So now you see these creatures with these different types of animals' heads as he's describing them, each one with 6 wings about them, covered in eyes. You guys got that right? We're keeping up. No, you're not. I'm not either. No one knows what he's talking about, right? Why? Because he's trying to describe to us something that is beyond worldly explanation. He's describing the scene in heaven. And so John here is doing his very best to try to describe to us what he's seeing. The problem is, the reason that we read this and we're like, huh? It's because there's nothing like this for him to compare it to. There is nothing on earth like the throne seat of heaven. But he's trying his hardest to explain this. going on. He says, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. Now, I want you to notice something here. As difficult as it is to try and grasp all this, to put these pictures in your head and try to make sense of everything, the focus here isn't on all of these things around the throne. The reason he gives us this explanation is so that we can see that which is most important about the throne, which is that it is a place where the authority and the majesty of God are vividly displayed. That is the message he's trying to say. He's trying to tell us that this image, it's beyond words. The things that he's seeing, they don't make any sense to us. And he describes God as being like a twinkling stone in gems and brilliant hues. He talks about thunderings and lightning, flashes of light, rainbows. He's talking about these creatures that are six wings and that day and night without ceasing, holy, 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 they praise and they worship Almighty God. Folks, what's in heaven? What's heaven like? Well, I can tell you that there's a throne in heaven. And that throne is where we see the glory and the authority and the sovereign might of the King of the kingdom of heaven seated in all his majesty. So what's heaven like? Well, I can tell you there's a throne. There's a throne. And rightly so. Now, there's not just a throne. There's also a temple in heaven. There's a temple. You're already in Revelation, so go with me now. And we're going to hop to a few different places. You're welcome to if you want to. We're going to stay in Revelation, but we're going to hop to a few different chapters here, three to be precise, so that you can see that he's making it clear that there is a temple in heaven today. Here's what it says, Revelation 3, verse 12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Now in Revelation 7, verses 14 and 15. I hear pages flipping, so I'll give you just a second to get there. Revelation 7, verses 14 and 15, he says, And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest, and he's asking, this is John in response to the question, this angel asked him, Who are these that are clothed in white raiment? And he replies, Sir, thou knowest, in other words, he tells the angel, You know. And so the angel says back to him, These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. One more, Revelation 11 and verse 19. Revelation 11 and verse 19. It says, And the temple of God was open in heaven. And there was a scene, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. So clearly we see that not only is there a throne in heaven, but there is a temple in heaven. Now, I mentioned that the throne is where we see the might, the glory, the authority of God vividly displayed, and he's being worshipped there. But we also see here through those three verses and throughout Revelation that the temple is dedicated also to the worship of God, to the serving of God. And they worship him there, it says, day and night without ceasing. And this is very familiar language as that which is used of the beasts, of the angels, which surround the throne. Day and night, they worship God. They serve God. So there's a throne in heaven. There's a temple in heaven. Now, I want to show you kind of a before and after picture of heaven. And the reason is for this. Heaven's going to change, folks. Heaven's going to change. I want to explain this now. When we ask the question, or when we are asked the question, what's heaven like? We as Christians need to be able to ask a question in return first. When? Right now, or in what we call the eternal state? Heaven now is not the same as it will be in the eternal state. The Bible makes that clear. All right? I'll show you from the scriptures here what's going to change and how it's going to change and how that's going to affect us. Because people have asked, and one young man asked, and we'll get to this, but I've got to give you the background so you can grasp it. One young man asked me not long ago at our teens group, he said, hey, the Bible talks about to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, which means you go to heaven and be in God's presence. However, it talks here in Revelation, it says that we're going to be raptured and that the dead in Christ will rise first. So if they're already there, who's rising? All right? We're going to explain some things about that just in case there's any confusion on what it's talking about and how that works. And then we're going to talk about our place and how things are different from those in heaven now and those that are going to be in heaven in the eternal state. Okay? Let's explain this a little bit as we begin to go through heaven. So, we see here, if you want to turn to Revelation 21:1, we'll see where it tells us that heaven's going to change first. Let's go ahead and take a look at that. Revelation 21 and verse 1. All the way in the back. So, here's what it says. It says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven, and this doesn't mean the first heaven in the sense that we spoke of on our first lesson on heaven, where the first heaven is the sky, the second is space, and the third is the abode of God. This is talking about the first heaven, where God is, okay? It's talking about the first creation of heaven, all right? The first heaven and the first earth, being here, right, were passed away, and there was no more sea. So it tells us that he's going to do away with earth as we know it and heaven as we know it, and he's going to make them new. He's going to make them new. Now, this, of course, takes place at the end, though. As you notice, this takes place in chapter 21 of Revelation, the very end of the story. All right? A lot of things are going to take place before this happens. A lot of things are going to take place, and this is what we mean when we say the eternal state. Okay, the eternal state. Before this happens, you've got the rapture, you've got the tribulation, you've got the second coming of Christ, you've got the millennial kingdom, the thousand-year reign of Christ. Then you've got the white throne judgment, which is the second resurrection, right? We're not going to be there, right? That's for those that are going before the white throne. We're going to be at the first resurrection. And it says, then, after all of that, all of that's already taken place now. We're at the very end of the story. Then comes the new heaven and the new earth, or what we know as the eternal state. Now, I tell you all of that so that you can grasp what I'm about to tell you now. So, something is going to be quite strikingly different about heaven now and heaven then. Let's take a look at some of these things. So, if you're already in Revelation 21, where it talks about the new heaven and the new earth, and they're in verse 1, read the next two verses with me, verses 2 and 3. It says, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. In other words, coming down to earth, right? Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Now, so we see this new Jerusalem, right? We see this city coming out of heaven, out of the clouds, coming down to earth. It's the city of God, right? Now, and we see that God is now going to dwell with man. Currently, right? The abode or the dwelling place of God, though he's omnipresent, he's all places, all times, yes, but the abode, the dwelling place of God is heaven. It's out of man's reach. In the end, the heavenly city, New Jerusalem, comes to earth and God dwells with man. Now, there's a couple of other things that are going to change. We spoke of the throne and we spoke of the temple, two things that are in heaven right now. But I want you to see something else that changes. Quickly, though, before we get into there, I want to give you a little taste of the next topic we'll be looking at, which is this New Jerusalem or this city of God, right? Because that's where we're going to be our eternal state. That's where we're going to end up. I believe that this is what John is referring to, actually. And this is my own personal belief, that that's what Jesus is referring to in John when he says that he's going to prepare a place for us. He means this in two ways. He means, one, that he's going to prepare a place for us, as in through his death he will prepare, in other words, pave the way, make a way for us to be with God. But he also believed that he's going to prepare this New Jerusalem. Where? Why? Because this is the place where we're going to end up, where we're going to dwell with him. Let's read what he says. In John 14, 2 and 3, he says this. These are Jesus' words. He says, "In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." So right there, we can make the assumption that what he's saying is he's going to prepare a place for us amongst the many mansions of his Father. He says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you," catch the next part, "I will come again and receive you unto myself." That's when he takes us to heaven. "That where I am, there ye may be also." So we are going to dwell with God. So Christ was not only going to die, not only going to prepare a place for us, but he was also going to physically prepare a place for us, which is the New Jerusalem. And we see it explained here. Now, there's some other things that are unique, and now we'll get back to the throne and the temple in heaven and how they're going to change. Right? So we've already explained that there's a throne and there's a temple. If you're in Revelation 21, which you should still be, go look at verses 22 and 23 with me. Remember, Revelation 21 is talking about the eternal state at the end of all things. And it's talking specifically of this New Jerusalem where God now dwells. In other words, and also take this into consideration as you look at these so we have the right lens to look through here, what we spoke of last Sunday night when we said that heaven is where God is, right? So in other words, what's going to happen in the final times or the eternal state, right, the end of all things, is that which is heaven, which is lofty and out of our reach now, no one knows where it is, right, but it's what we call the third heaven, it will come to earth, it will envelop all things, and there will only be heaven. Why? Because God will be on earth. He will be in the new earth. The new heaven is where God is. So since God is here, this will be heaven, so to speak, right? Because this is where God is at. Now, look at this. Verses 22 and 23, he says, "And I saw no temple therein." Speaking of the New Jerusalem, he says there's no temple there now. "For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it." So today, before the eternal state, there's a temple in heaven. In the eternal state, no temple. Why? Because you don't need to go to a temple to worship God if he's always with you. He's there, right? They are the temple. "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." So there's no temple, there's no sun, there's no moon. Why? God is the temple. God and his glory, his radiance, is what illuminates everything. He is the throne. He is the temple. He's everything. And that's what we're going to see in the end, in the eternal state, where we will eventually be with God. Now, now we get to those questions that everyone likes to ask, that everyone's curious about, right? What's it going to be like for us in heaven? So now we've described the scene a little bit, at least the best that we can, and we're going to talk a little bit more in depth on the New Jerusalem next week. But we've already described what heaven's like right now. Most of that comes from John and his revelation. We've talked about how it's going to change a bit the eternal state. But now we have to ask, well, what about the citizens of heaven? Who's going to occupy it? What's it going to be like for them? What are they going to be like? And here's where we double back to why you need to know the difference. So let's talk about some stuff, some things here. As I said, this, I want to take this opportunity to answer the question of the young man that asked this during our teens. Like I said, he asked, what will heaven be like for us? And again, that's now or after. I want you to take a look at something here. Right now, those in heaven, they are there spiritually, not physical bodies yet. They're there spiritually. And we can see that identified to us in the scriptures, okay? They don't get their physical bodies till they're resurrected. That's why it says the dead in Christ shall rise first. Right now, they are there spiritually with God. Now, we see this also, this example of the first one to go, which was Jesus Christ, our Lord, the one we follow, our example. He shows us the same. What does he say? In Luke 23, verse 46. Luke 23, verse 46, it says this, "And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost," speaking of his spirit, right? The Holy Ghost, God. "We are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." That's 2 Corinthians 5:8. So when we leave this world right now, we go to be with God instantly, right? But we go there as spirit. We are spiritually there with God. Now, the question is, we have to take a look at 1 Thessalonians, and here is where we see the speaking of the rapture and the dead in Christ rising first. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. This is how things are going to change whenever Christ raptures the church. What does it say? It says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." Now, this is where we get our incorruptible bodies. This is where we have the resurrection that takes place. We are with the Lord. And we see that too in Jesus Christ, right? We see that with Christ. Christ was gone 3 days, right? Dead 3 days. And then what? He was resurrected. And then he went up, ascended physically into heaven. And the same is going to be the same process for us. Now, I want you to take a look at something else here. We have who in heaven? We have right now the Lord, we have the angelic beings, and we have believers, the martyrs, the faithful of God who've passed on. Now, soon though, we're going to follow them. So tonight we've taken a look at how heaven's going to change, what's there now and what's going to be there. We've got the throne, we've got the temple, that's there. In the eternal state though, there is none of that. There's just God. He's both. In the eternal state, we're going to live in New Jerusalem. That's the place that's being prepared for us. Why? To dwell with our God. Currently, they dwell in heaven with the Lord, waiting that time. Now, next week, whenever we come back to this, we're going to be taking a look at what New Jerusalem is going to be like, what the Bible tells us about it, description of New Jerusalem, as best we can anyway. There's a whole lot of things that people say in all kinds of different places about heaven. But I think it's important that we take a look at what the Bible has to say about heaven, because I don't know about you, but I'm excited to get there. I hope that you're excited to get there. I'm excited about leaving this world and going home to be with the one that really matters. I'm excited about getting everything that's wonderful. I'm excited about every tear being wiped from my eye, everything about this world being done away with. I can't wait, and I hope that you have the same thought on your mind. Can't wait to be with God. Well, I hope that the message has given everybody a reason to shift your focus off of things temporal and onto things eternal. That should be always our focus. should always be our focus. Eternal things, the eternal state, what's coming in the end. But in order for us to be in New Jerusalem, in order for us to go to be with the Lord, we first have to have a relationship with Him. We've got to be with God. In order for that to take place, we have to come to the Christ. We have to come to the cross of Calvary, the cross of Christ, where blood was shed for the forgiveness of sins. If tonight you've never been to the cross, if you've never come to a place where you've accepted the Lord Christ as your Savior, been washed of sin, then as the congregation sings in a moment, I invite you to come down and I'll show you from the Word of God how you can know that heaven will be your home. That when the saints go marching, when the rolls are taken, how's it go? When the rolls are called up yonder? Yeah, that's how it goes. When the rolls are called up yonder, you'll be there. There you go. That's how the song goes. So as the congregation sings, we invite you to come.